You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm not happy this morning. I'm kind of both Yankee and Met fans. I'm damn a little bit annoyed at watching what I'm watching. I'm not going to give up on either team. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they should break them all up and fire the managers. I'm just going to say, let's see what happens in these last 49 games. Just like I said yesterday, let's see what happens in these last 50 games. But I got to tell you, you know, what I am sick and tired of, I don't know if it's analytics or it's just the way that baseball managers think. And, you know, last night was one of these situations for the Mets, at least. You know, Vientos has been hitting the ball, right? He's had a nice hitting streak and everything. Let's put Brett Beatty up there because of a righty-lefty situation. You know, could I understand lefty on lefty, you want to go to a righty? I get that because maybe
you get
it's
that.
A little bit tougher. I get that, just like Jerry always gets it.
Yeah.
And then Beatty, of course, rolls over on a ball and hits, you know, gets out of an inning and lets the Guardians get out of an inning and then commits an error because he's now going to be in the field at third base.
Yep.
And I'm picking on him, I guess, because I just was so frustrated that, you know, this is the way Mendoza wanted to go with it. And I understand righty-lefty, righty-lefty, lefty-righty. I mean, it's ridiculous. But it's just like these games these two teams are losing are just so mind-numbing how they are losing them. And, you know, the Yankees super pen since it was 6-0 on Friday night in Miami, and everybody's like all jacked up because they got the new pen, they got the new arms in there, they're hitting, Aaron Judge is coming back next week. And since that time, it has been just an absolute disaster for Devin Williams, for Bird. I mean, it's just been one thing after the next, the lousy base running, the terrible fielding, the lack of fundamentals. I mean, we've heard it over and over and over again. And it's just, it's so frustrating for fans like us and for fans out there that are listening to us. And I'm sure it's frustrating for each of these managers because when they make decisions and I think they're making these decisions thinking that they're putting the guy in the best situation for them to be successful. And then when the guys don't or aren't successful, then they're frustrated and they don't have answers for it after the game either. So
yeah.
you either come through or you don't.
Mm.
You know, like, and I, you know, last night I'm sitting there in the eighth inning and I'm watching single, 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 single. It was amazing. And I'm like, okay, the Mets are coming back. They're getting back into this game. They end up tying it. Oh, let's take Vientos out of lineup. Let's put Beatty in. He rolls over on a ball right to second base. Boom, out, done. Now let's hit the ball to Beatty. and let's have him throw it out into right field.
Yeah, which felt like a routine play for a major leaguer.
100%.
I feel like we've seen too many of these from both of these teams, just routine plays and terrible situations for them. Obviously, this happens in the 10th and is the game-winning.
This is an easy play.
Right, yeah, I mean, I know.
And I'm not saying that, you know, the Guardians wouldn't have scored anyway because they would have had men on first and third, but my God.
Yeah.
I mean, these are plays that have to, they're just basic plays. And,
yeah.
You know, and this comes after, like I said, him pinch hitting for Vientos. I don't know what to tell you. And it's like they both are now like in this losing mindset. And the only thing that's going to help them is they're going to need to bust out. And like I said, when they went on that seven game winning streak, the Mets in particular, I was like, they needed like a 10 game winning streak. Teams around them were doing that. And by the way, they're still very much in the midst of all this. Even with Philadelphia doing what they're doing, even with Kyle Schwarber doing what he's doing,
yeah,
they're right there. I mean, but it's just frustrating to watch them lose these games, especially after, you know, it felt like when they went out and swept the Giants last week, okay, now they got themselves, and then they gave that game away to the Padres. And that's like the Yankees giving away games. It's just they're giving away games by mind-numbingly stupid plays.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is too much of an odd comparison because basketball and baseball are so different and baseball teams get hot and all this stuff that you see. But, you know, it almost feels to me what we're watching with the Mets regular season is what we're watching with the Knicks regular season, which is we know how talented they are. They're winning. They're right there. But it doesn't feel like they're a great team right now, and
like
there's something
off.
There's just something off. I mean, and even, you know, they've had 2 6-game winning streaks and 1 7-game winning streak. And I maybe should feel better about them because of those things. But it just doesn't seem to sustain itself. You know, and ever since the Phillies got back in the mix and this back and forth thing that's been going on, it just, I haven't seen that special team that they could be. That we saw, you know, coming off of last year where everything felt so special all the time. You know, the comebacks and this and that and the vibes and the energy. It just doesn't have the same feel around it yet. But we know how good they are. They got a ton of good players. They got a massive payroll. The fans are showing up every single day. I mean, it's insanity. Citi Field has got a playoff atmosphere almost every single night, regardless of the opponent. But the team's just got just
and
a
by the
little
way,
off.
It's the same thing for the Yankees. It's the same thing. I mean, I don't necessarily know that the starting pitching is all that great for either team, but quite frankly, with the addition of what they've done with the bullpen, those things will even itself out. I'm not too worried about that. And, you know, what happened Friday night in Miami with those three relievers was just like one of the most amazing things I think I've ever seen, that three guys that you trade for give up 9 runs in 3 innings. Holy Christ. That was monumental. That was a monumental failure. I mean, a disaster. And I don't, you know, you want to throw it at, you know, Aaron Boone's feet because you want to protect other arms in the bullpen. I don't know. They believe me, everybody's working in concert with one another. It's just not working right now, and it's certainly not consistent. So a lot of people are going to be angry. A lot of people are going to be frustrated. A lot of people tune into these games to be entertained. And unfortunately, it's been gut punch after gut punch for both teams over the last, you know, I would say month and a half.
Yeah, and one thing that Aaron Boone, I think, needs to stay away from now is Devin Williams in these high-leverage situations. It's too much. It's been too much. It's been too long. He's never gone on an extended streak of looking like the guy he was last year. It's like that Pete Alonso home run turned him into a different player. He goes from that ending his season, essentially, last year to coming to the Yankees and then the facial hair thing and never felt right, gets off to a miserable start, almost like Edwin Diaz when he first got here, you know, straightened it out a little bit. But he is someone just, I don't know how you have any confidence in him. I mean,
well,
he's got to be more of like a sixth inning guy, you know, when the starter goes 5, as opposed to, hey, he's going to go in the 9th with a 1-run lead. Can't handle it.
Well, that's why they added Duvall and Bednar.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have options now.
And Weaver's, you know.
And Weaver's another one.
Yeah.
So they have all sorts of options that they can turn to. It's not like when Edwin Diaz got here and the Mets were locked into him.
Yeah.
You know, and they even moved him out of the closer's role to settle him down. So there's nothing wrong with moving guys around and trying again to put them in situations where they can be somewhat successful. But, you know, if Devin Williams gives up a home run in the sixth, it's not as crushing as the bottom of the ninth. Well, yeah. And that's the thing.
Right. You know, or the top of the ninth or the bottom of the eighth. You know, it's like it's been like that the entire year. It's just got to be. He's got to be a guy who's not being put in those situations. Aaron Boone's got to give up on that one. He just has to. I mean, those are the type of things where it's not a huge shift. It's not something that's a tremendous shakeup. It's just something that's obvious. And now with Aaron Judge coming back, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to put the best team out there without having the best players available, because you're not going to have Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge in the lineup together, because Aaron Judge is going to DH, which is just, you know, for a team that's struggling so much and they're not going to be able to put their best team out there and their best lineup out there, because they can't have Giancarlo Stanton in the field and Aaron Judge is not 100% to be able to be throwing the ball in the outfield, and they want to ease him in as a DH. Well, I mean, that sucks. I mean, it does.
You know, and right now we're watching the Brewers, the Red Sox, and the Padres all playing some of their best baseball. You know, those three teams right there are all playing some of their best baseball, while the Mets and the Yankees are basically treading water, if not worse.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it is really frustrating. It's about as frustrating as it gets right now, because we know how much money has been invested. We know that the Yankees brought in 7 new players at the trade deadline. That's ridiculous. That's unheard of. I mean, you usually bring in 1 or 2 guys. To bring in 7?
Yeah, I mean, but think about some of this. Like, you know, Max Fried, who was great in the beginning of the season, has not been that pitcher since. And, you know, yesterday, you know, we'll talk about Devin Williams. You know, we'll talk about Jake Bird. But, you know, the Yankees, who need Max Fried to be the stopper, you know, have this horrible series in Miami. He gets given a 3-run lead last night and then immediately gives it right back. I mean, that's a problem, too.
Which looked like a great signing the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Is now looking like they all go through it. Very rarely are these pitchers, you know, going through, you know, 30 starts and they're going to be at the top of their game. They're going to have moments. Their arm's going to get tired. The ball's not going to be moving as much. And he might be in the middle of that right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, is Aaron Judge coming back going to be the elixir that makes this team a competitive team in their own division again, that they haven't been in such a long time, since feeling like the middle of June?
But now you got to sit down, Giancarlo Stanton.
I know, who hits this impressive line drive home run to give the Yankees a lead last night. I mean, there's no one more clutch in that lineup than him. I mean, it's true. I mean, he's got the best postseason numbers out of anybody.
Do you put him in the field?
They're not going to. So, I mean, they're just not.
I mean, the Yankees can be such a mess at times. Like, guys playing out of position, guys not being able to play a position. I don't know. You got to have both of these bats in the field, in the lineup, don't you?
I guess because it's a turf situation.
Oh my God!
This is what they said.
It's dirt and turf.
Don't get mad at me. Don't kill the messenger on this one. But I guess that they. You know, if it were grass, this were Yankee Stadium, and they weren't there with the turf.
You know, let me just go back about 30 years. All right,
yeah,
and just say you should see the turf we were playing on. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah,
I just don't want to hear it. The guy
but this guy's a walking injury. You know?
I know, but you know, he's a world class athlete. Supposedly a world class athlete, and he's playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. Listen. I would throw him out there. I understand that he's always getting hurt and it takes him forever to come back, but
Wasn't it 2 years ago they played him in left field and he actually played like a full game and things looked good and he was hitting the ball?
Yes.
And we all thought maybe he needs to play like be a real baseball player as opposed to a $30 million, I'm sitting my ass on the bench so I don't pull a hamstring player.
Yeah. I mean, for them to, they're in dire straits right now and
God, it's got to be so frustrating.
I mean, they got to me, it's like throw him out there. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Like, he's not out there. There's not landmines out there in the outfield. It's turf, you know?
Is he going to hurt his arm? I don't know. It's just so here we go again. So now the Yankees, because of an injury, run into a position problem.
Yeah, but you still
remember they had an injury at third base. So let's put Chaz over there, and then all of a sudden you put Chaz over there, and then that's a mess.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, I'm a second baseman.
Right. And then some of the...
I got traded here. Hey, I'll do whatever they want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go until I make like a bunch of errors and people start asking you about the errors. And then you say, well, I'm really a second baseman. You turn into Rafael Devers.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben Rice playing first base probably too much. Jazz over there, you know, not having Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup. It's just, all the money spent in the offseason, all the trades that were made, and it still feels like a team that's less than cohesive, to be kind. I mean, it just doesn't seem like they've got the right formula every single night. So, but getting Judge back could be the thing. I mean, he could go on a tear, but, I mean, he could. He's the best hitter in baseball. I mean, he could go on a tear and carry his team in a regular season.
You know what? I would hope.
But that's really the only thing.
But you're sitting down a guy that's actually mashing the ball now.
You are. They are, at least for the rest of this series. We'll see how it goes.
This is turf.
I mean,
come on.
I'm with you. I don't know.
What ever happened to real men?
And he looks like a real guy and acts like a real guy. I don't know if this
sounds like one, but I mean, like, you know, go to the Skip. Hey, Skip, get me in that lineup. Where do you need me?
I don't know if it's if he's just going along with it and is pissed off about not playing or what.
But then they would have to take Dominguez out of the lineup.
Yes. But I'd still rather have Judge and Stanton in the lineup together right now.
You can sit on my face.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
It is horrendous. And I keep hearing from Mendoza talking about how good his team is, how good his team is. Well, you know what? I don't know. Maybe that when they're practicing or they're meeting, they're good, because when they get on the field, they basically look flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why this team looks flat, because we talked about this yesterday with Gio. They're getting big crowds. They're not selling out every. The crowds are great. The fans are into it. But for some reason, something is missing. And I don't know what that is. And I know everybody's waiting for the big outburst. I thought they had the outburst over the weekend. But that, you know, that led to nothing. And then, you know, for this team, and it's embarrassing. Now, I don't care what anybody says, getting one hit. And quite frankly, you know, there was a chance yesterday that when Juan Soto hit that ball, that he might have been thrown out at first base if it doesn't go out of the building.
You know,
because he's loafing out of the box. Now I don't expect him to sprint to first base in a situation like this, but he watched the whole thing and
it gets out by literally a foot.
By a foot, and it's back in. And you know what? This to me is like a rear, and he's got a nice smile on his face, you know, like he's laughing. You know, I'm sick of it. I want to see attitude. I want to see, you know, when the Mets had Gary Carter, they had Ray Knight, they had, you know, they had guys that would fight. You know, they would go on losing streaks too, like every baseball team does. But I don't ever, and maybe I'm forgetting things, but there were times where these guys would be fighting each other. They were fighting.
They're punching Eric Davis in the face on third base.
Right, exactly.
In Cincinnati. I
mean, and, you know, this team looks, you know what, this team looks overpaid and underwhelmed.
They look bored. And that's a bad place to be. And I'm glad you brought up Soto. I was going to get to him, but since you mentioned the home run and watching the replay on a closer view, maybe it was more than a foot. It was a 3 or 4 feet up, but your point is well taken. Steven or Andrew, whoever is back at CBS Sports Network, can you, if possible, can you get me the RBI triple by Arias in the sixth inning? Because just to set this up, so David Peterson, who's okay, gave up a couple of, you know, the home runs, made it 3-0. Then he goes out there in the sixth inning and the two out. You can't walk a guy with two outs.
Well, we all know that.
He walks Carlos Santana, but I don't know. Watch this. Watch Soto on right field. Number one, lollygagging to the ball here, fumbles it. Watch this throw. What is that? He gives the guy the extra base, making it a triple instead of it. Like
he's say Arias.
What is that?
Arias was the MVP of the series. I mean, he was just killing them.
But to your point about Soto, like he's not even the lob throw in.
It's amazing.
I don't want to say there's no effort. There's not much effort on that play.
I want to say this, and I'm going to say it again. There's not a player worth $765 million.
No, there's not. There's no question.
I mean,
question.
You know, maybe Shohei Ohtani because he does so many different things, and he basically steals bases. You know, and I know Juan has stole some bases this year. But you know, is he a leading like your highest paid player, whether it be Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or in this case Juan Soto, has to lead the team.
Yep, I agree.
They have to set the example, and when the example that is being set is one that just doesn't look, at least to the naked eye, and as a former athlete, looks to me like if that's the guy that's getting paid $760 million and he's supposed to be our leader, I'm not following that guy.
Not to mention, he's been the word that I've heard a lot, and it's so right. His numbers ultimately will look fine, but it's a whole lot of nothing.
Well, his last 3 weeks have been abysmal.
Terrible.
Since the All-Star break, he's been abysmal.
But do you realize he's got 26 home runs? If I asked you right now how many of them are more than a solo shot, how many do you think? Because I don't know if
probably
people...
Six.
He's got 20 solo home runs. Now, you want to tell me a solo home run, it's 2-2 in the ninth inning. Great. That impacts a game. That's a huge hit.
That's a clutch hit.
But a solo home run in the ninth inning to break up a no-hitter when you're losing 4-0 is useless.
And this craze about, you know, Pete Alonso beating Darryl Strawberry. We get stuck on so many stupid things. Like, they have to win. They're spending $400 million on their team, and they're not dealing with injuries. Maybe Francisco Lindor is dealing with a toe injury.
It seems like it.
All right, so then don't be out there.
Well,
I mean, like, I love the fact that you want to play, and I don't know if this is true. If it is true that he is hurt and it's costing them and he is not hitting and he's striking out at an alarming rate, then you got to sit him down. I mean, like the Yankees sat down Aaron Judge.
I think the time was right for that. I think at this point he's starting to hit. Even like his first at bat yesterday was a screaming line drive.
Yeah,
but the last few days he's hitting the ball better and is starting to look better. So I think you were right. Maybe 2-3 weeks ago they should have it. They didn't. I think he's coming back into focus. But that said, this team looks life. And I know when you're not winning, it looks this way, and maybe it's not. But they look
Jerry,
lifeless.
Jerry, your $765 million man is not leading by the front. I can tell you that.
I couldn't agree
with
you more.
He is setting an example that, and I'm sure he's popular in the locker room. And I'm sure, you know, the fact that his family's got a suite and that's got all the trappings of being the superstar, that the way they treated Bonds, the way they treated Rodriguez, the way they treated, you know, McGuire, the way they treated Sosa, you know, they treated those guys like, you remember Barry Bonds had two lockers.
I do.
You know, swivel chairs and everything else like that. And he's, when you make this kind of money and you put forth what seems to be a very average effort,
yeah,
I don't care. I mean, it's just, it's ugly. It's absolutely ugly. And it's, again, we could sit here and say it's unacceptable, but what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Especially when Mendoza is after the game going, well, you know, went over his head. You know, I'm good with that. And I'm like, we see it a different way. And I know we go, these managers are not going to be able to scream and yell at these players.
I don't think they're allowed to. I really don't.
I mean, at the end of the day, the player has got to have the pride to want to live up to what he has accomplished. Like, he's accomplished so much in his young career, and he's got so much more to accomplish. And the fact that he is really being paid this much money, and it has been, like, this absent and looks the way that he does, is an insult to everybody who pays $50 to $150 to $350 a ticket to go and see it.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And that is to me the ultimate insult.
Kick in the face.
Fan. Right.
I agree. And that's why. So I was out yesterday for much of the day. I had this game. I recorded it. So when I went back and watched it, I watched this play like 8 times. Like, I couldn't believe the laziness and the just blah. There was no urgency. You know, we talk a lot about urgency when a team is struggling. There was no urgency on that play. And it almost just kind of was like a microcosm of what they or he is doing right now. And it's just, you know, and for them to get out of this. Now, listen, the same way they were struggling and they won 7 in a row, they can do that again. Cleveland had lost. Think about this. The Guardians had lost 10 straight games. And since then, they're 18-7. They've turned things around. They're back in the at least wild card chase.
And think about the Guardians for a minute and think about the crap that they've had to deal with. Their closer is suspended.
Emmanuel Clase suspended. Yeah,
I mean, like for gambling. I mean, and how are they doing what they're doing? And you know, it's a small market team. It's
none of that
matters.
Mike
Chernoff. I mean, but you know, they usually are in the middle of it. It just goes to show you, it doesn't matter how much money you spend, you're going to get your asses kicked if your leaders are not leading by the front.
So
and they are trailing and. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, Lindor is in a slump. Alonso's in a slump. Worried about, you know, I don't know him in particular, but all we're talking about is breaking Daryl Strawberry's home run record for the Mets. Like, it's some a matter of importance.
All right, if I ask you right now, though, I mean, you're right. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, all that's true.
McNeil, Nimmo.
Who is hitting? I'm looking at the order from yesterday. Mark Vientos, he almost had a base hit. Woohoo, he almost had a hit. But he was 0-for-4 yesterday. Brandon Nimmo, all right, he walked 3 times. Great. But he has not done much of anything lately.
As good as a hit, Jerry.
But he's done much of nothing. Jeff McNeil, anything?
No, maybe he's worried about the golf course.
The catcher position. Have you gotten it?
When Alvarez came back, he was better. But
for
now, all of a
week,
sudden, nothing. Yeah.
Top to bottom, this has been a collective fail offensively. And it's, you know, we sit here in March and April, oh, this team, this lineup. Remember, Ron Darling was on with UNG. He said they are going to score 1 million runs. And I think both of you were like, really? Like, this lineup? And I understand why he says that when you see the names Lindor, Soto, Alonso. I get it. But they got to go out there and do it. And there are times they look like one of the worst teams in baseball. And right now is one of those times.
Yeah, well, not as so. There's different ways of looking. So when the Yankees are making all of their mental errors and their physical errors in the field and base running gaffes, I mean, that's one thing. That and then we hear about Eric Bowen talking about the organizational problems that they have down in the minors when Didi Gregorius comes back and says you can't believe that they're not teaching the fundamentals down there. It's all about exit velo and all sort of crap. I mean, I just want to see effort. I want to, you know, manufacture a run. Somebody's try to get on base and bunt. You know, this is one of these getaway days where everybody's swinging at everything. Now, hey, give Gavin Williams a lot of credit. He was great yesterday.
I know the fact he did not want to come out of that game.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But I don't care that they're going to play the Brewers. What I do care about is that they're leaving New York. They're getting away from the booze. I mean, they're being booed at home.
Yeah, after being
$400 million roster is being booed at home.
And they should for this week. Think of how dominant they were at home for the first 3 months of the season and where we are right now.
Oh, I think back to those earlier days in the season where, you know, you have the post-game interview with the player of the game. And, yeah. Oh, it's so great to be here. The fans are behind us. We love you guys. You know, we appreciate everybody's, you know, taking part. I mean, this really, honestly, is so hard to watch. I don't even want to watch it.
All right, so I'm going
to
bring
I don't even want to watch it. I mean, like, now I will say this. They go away to Milwaukee for three games, and I don't care how good Milwaukee's playing. Maybe that's what the Mets need. Maybe they need to play against a good team, and maybe they need to wake up away from home, because then they come back home against Seattle and in Atlanta and Seattle. What is that six-game homestand going to be like?
It might be 1-5, might be 6-0.
But how are the fans going to react to that?
They'll be there. Well, how do they play in Milwaukee? If they go win 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee and they play the right way and they look more the part, I think the fans will be there and they'll be fired up. If they go get swept, you're going to hear boos in the first inning.
You know, normally I don't get too wrapped up in all of this stuff just simply because it's a long season and we've seen teams turn it on mid-August into September, and then all of a sudden they get themselves right and they're ready to go for the playoffs. Maybe you're right, Jerry. Maybe they're bored. Maybe they're expecting to be in the playoffs. Maybe they think just showing up is going to get them back to where they were last year. Well, we know every year is different. This is why when you listen to the Philadelphia Eagles, you listen to Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, you listen to A.J. Brown or Nick Sirianni, they tell you that, you know, it was great to win Super Bowl 59, but, man, that's in a rearview mirror. This is a new year, and we got to do it all over again, and we got to put in the effort to be able to get back there. It's not easy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Tonight, we've got 3 football games. I think there's 3 more tomorrow. The Giants could start it Saturday afternoon. The Jets could start it Saturday night. I think the Jets are in Green Bay. The Giants are in Buffalo. So, as you look at these two, it's interesting because you've got 2 teams that haven't played well the last few years. We know this. But we've got 2 teams with leadership at the top that are in completely different places. As I guess my question would be, as I look at these two, how are the two camps different? Or are they? When you've got Aaron Glenn trying to make his mark and turn around a program, Brian Daboll has been, you know, Al asked me a question the other day, which I thought was really good. He said, when you went to Giants camp, was anything different about it? Did they seem cocky? Did they seem humble? And to me, they felt very humble, energetic, and we know we've got to prove it to you. How are the two camps different right now?
Well, for me, I think that there is a level of energy at the Giants simply because from the coaching staff, they know that if they have a disastrous year, they're going to be gone. So there is that, you know, kind of walking on thin ice feel to it. But I also felt like there was a professionalism that was associated with Russell Wilson. You know, I've said it a million times. He's a winning player. He's not the exciting player that he once was, but he is a winning player, and he will get you in the fourth quarter most of the time with either the lead or within a touchdown of the lead or a score of the lead. And I think that this defense and the addition of Scadaboo and Abdul Carter and, of course, Jackson Dart, there's a little bit of energy because of those young kids and the youthful nature, and especially Abdul Carter, you know. And everybody's also expecting a huge year from Malik Nabers. And they do have some really top-end players. When you throw Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence in there, you're like, damn, and Bobby Okereke is a hell of a linebacker. Mm-hmm. So they have competitive players, very competitive players. They just need to be competitive and fight in these games. And if they can split their first two games, I think they'll get off to a decent start. If they lose their first two games, I think that's going to be a struggle. And then I think the fans are going to want to be screaming for Jackson Dart. On the other side for the Jets, you know, there are going to be growing pains. A rookie head coach, rookie offensive coordinator, trying to figure out a quarterback who's struggled everywhere he's been since he's been in the league in Justin Fields, and he's struggling on the practice field, and it's being reported as such. So there are things that are happening over there that will be out of Aaron's control. Just simply, he doesn't have Jared Goff as a quarterback like they had in Detroit. But overall, I would say that Aaron Glenn is trying to create a whole new atmosphere, which I do believe is working, because we have not seen one of these leaked type of articles from anybody that covers this team about what's going on over there. I don't think anybody truly knows outside of the building what they're thinking internally about who's making a team, who's not making a team, and what do they really, truly think about Justin Fields.
Now, you mentioned Fields struggling, and I read all the articles too. I see, or at least saw the headlines and some of the posts on social media. It's still August 6th or 7th.
Every game, but just so you know, every coach, every play is evaluated. Every play is looked at. Every position coach is watching their players really closely. Tanner Engstrom is trying to figure out Justin Fields. Where can we put him so we can get the best out of him? Look, I told you, his biggest problems are, number one, accuracy, and number two is basically going through his progressions and anticipating throws. So sometimes, you know, like when Kurt Warner was at the top of his game, nobody anticipated throws better than he did when he was the all-pro quarterback.
That's because he recognized what he was seeing?
Yeah, and plus, you remember, he was an older player, too, you know. So he took over, on a great team with Mike Martz as their offensive coordinator. And I always point to him because he did it in Arizona, too, and he would have done it here in New York had Eli Manning not been here. But the quick release, the reading of the defenses, the accuracy was uncanny. I'm not saying he was Dan Marino, but he was he played the game like that, like the quick release, the accuracy, and the ball was out of his hands and he would get it into his playmakers' hands and then they would go and make the play. So, Justin Fields is just not at that level when it comes to processing the defenses. That's just been the biggest knock against him. And that's the thing that he's got to learn. And unfortunately for him, he's learning yet another offense, a new offensive coordinator, and a new system. And the guys that are playing with him probably know that there's going to be a little bit of indecision. So the snap counts are going to be a little bit off. There may be some holding penalties. There could be some false start penalties, all that kind of stuff that comes along with a guy that is not used to the offense that he's playing.
Wouldn't that then lend itself to them? And I don't know what the plan is right now, but wouldn't you want to see him then in these games a little bit just to kind of work those kinks out?
I want to see. Guys should play. I'm a big proponent of guys getting out there and feeling what it's like and getting hit. And I know that it's a risk. And I know that if something happens to a player of significance and they get hurt in preseason, and then everybody's screaming and yelling, why are they playing and why are we even playing these games? You know, the first month of the season is legitimately preseason for all these guys. But I know that Joe Burrow is going to play in Cincinnati this year.
Good.
He needs to play. He needs to get out there and feel it. And I'm not saying he needs to throw for 500 yards in a game or play more than a quarter, maybe two series, whatever it is. But he's got to feel the pass rush. He's got to communicate with his players. And Justin Fields needs to be on that field when the bullets are flying for real, where he can get hit. So he can actually start communicating with his players under the anxiety of playing in a game.
All right, so when we look at these two teams, we start with the Jets now here. When you look at everything you just said in terms of their pass game and their pass game struggles they might have early on, fair to us, I mean, wouldn't this be the type of team then you expect a run-first mentality 100%. To start?
Yeah, they got a good offensive line. They got a trio of running backs. There's going to be a lot of play-action passing. They're going to move him out of the pocket a lot. They're going to do some RPO stuff. He'll run. The one good thing that he will do for Jet fans that you haven't seen is that he'll get you three or four first downs a game just by, you know, either extending a play or having Tanner Engstrom give him an RPO. You know, he's that kind of quarterback. So you'll see that from Justin Fields without question. The real question is going to be the accuracy, you know, the processing of defenses and just being able to handle the pressure that he's handled a little bit. He just has not ascended to the first round draft pick that he turned out to be.
All right, this might be in the weeds a little bit, but see, something just popped in my head when you talked about the run pass option play. That to me seems like an incredibly difficult thing to decide in a fraction of a second, whether you're going to hand it off, keep it, throw it, whatever it is.
But he's used to doing it.
Why is that processing so easy for some and yet seeing down the field not?
Well, I mean, I never ran an RPO. I never did that. So I don't have any, you know, experience doing that. I've only watched these younger quarterbacks that are move quarterbacks. You know, they would do that with Josh Allen mm-hmm. up in Buffalo, and they probably still do a little bit of it, probably not nearly as much. Even Brian Daboll told us when we talked to him about coaching Josh Allen would yell in the phone, you know, I need to get hit, call an RPO. That maniac needed to get hit. So for these kids, especially athletic quarterbacks like this, that's a part of their game. That's the way they played in high school. That's the way they played in college. And that's the way they're going to play in the NFL. That's why Lamar Jackson's been doing all that a lot less than what he used to. Because the passing now is now up the standard to a top five passer in the league. So you don't need to do quite as much as that. But as long as you still have that in your offense and Derrick Henry and a good offensive line, now what does the defense do? Is the defense going to play with eight guys around the line of scrimmage, seven guys around the line of scrimmage? They got wide receivers all over the place. They got tight ends. So they really create a full complement of difficulties for an opposing defense when you play against somebody like a Lamar Jackson, who now has ascended to one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
All right, so now bringing it back to the Giants, because we talked briefly about them. You said something. You said Russell Wilson is going to get you to the fourth quarter, either within a score or with the lead. And all I think about is, in a world where the Giants struggled to score touchdowns for the last several years, I mean, really, it seemed like touchdown drives were so rare. Doing that game with you last year in October, they couldn't get the ball in the end zone. Now they've got a guy who's kind of, maybe at this stage of his career, not as much, but he's known for getting the ball in the end zone. Can you imagine living in a world where we're watching the Giants actually score points?
That would be nice. Now, I will say that he's careful. He's very careful, does not want to make a mistake. The older he's gotten, the more careful he's become. But he's always been that way, but he has been accurate, and he throws a great deep ball. So I would think we're going to see at least three or four of those shots a game.
A game.
To Malik Nabers. I would think that's going to be a big part of something that the Giants really haven't had a lot of, and that is like big plays on offense.
None.
So, but to me, Russell is a stopgap, and he's a guy that can get you in and out of the huddle, get you to the line of scrimmage, get you into the play that you want to have, and then just not turn the ball over.
Right.
I mean, what's killing the Giants is last year they got no turnovers and they turned the ball over and they had too many injuries on offense.
And kicked too many field goals, honestly.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish drives.
Exactly. So I just think that Malik Nabers should have a big year with Russell. As long as Russell's healthy and they're winning, then I think, you know, it's a winning combination. Is it a Super Bowl winning combination? No.
No, but they can look like a pro football team.
Yes.
Again.
They should be able to do that. I mean, and that's why you go get a safe Russell Wilson. And I know that it's maybe not this NFL that we see with the top five or six, seven quarterbacks in the league, but for what the Giants need right now, that's exactly what they need. And if they want rambunctiousness, they'll get it from their young quarterback when he's ready.
Breaking media news this morning, though, and this is something that we have talked about recently because we had a bunch of the wrestlers in come through here with BT and Sal and Evan and Tiki, and then you had Peter Schwartz put the SummerSlam results in his 5 a.m. update the other day, playing sound and highlights of that, which was interesting, and everything was over here at MetLife Stadium. But so how about ESPN spending more money acquiring rights? ESPN Inc.'s 5-year deal with WWE's live premium events, including WrestleMania and Royal Rumble. And they're going to be paying an average of $325 million per year for 5 years, according to people familiar with the matter. So that is a massive amount of money. That's not exclusive because they still have a deal, WWE, with Peacock and USA Network and also Netflix. But as far as the big ones, WrestleMania and Royal Rumble, ESPN will be putting them on their direct-to-consumer service starting in 2026.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is a race to get live content.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me in this regard is WWE bound by CBA with its wrestlers, or are they a part of the SAG-AFTRA union because they're performers?
That is a great question.
And how are the wrestlers going to benefit from this, or the performers, whatever you want to call them? How are they going to, you know, basically, hopefully make more money and have better pension benefits and long-term health care? Because what they do is legitimately physical, and we've seen so many wrestlers, you know, unfortunately die way too early because of the commitment that they make to the I want to say sport. I guess you'd want to say sport. You are
the industry,
the industry that they love.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're right about the live sports stuff. So also, you know, ESPN announcing just yesterday, you know, their media deal that we had long talked about and you had mentioned with the NFL Network and Red Zone and all that stuff.
Now, something else came out of this really interesting, and it was just a blurb, and I was stunned to see it, actually. So part of this deal with ESPN, the NFL is getting a part of an equity stake in ESPN. They're getting an equity stake within ESPN. So what that makes me believe that ESPN and NFL are going to be linked together forever.
Well, yeah.
Which is smart for ESPN and Disney to do that. That's Disney. Disney is the overarching company.
Right.
And they created this deal, and somehow they crafted this deal with the NFL. And now all of a sudden, ESPN is a major player and significant financial partner other than just paying for the rights. Now they're actually giving up part of the company. And this is all about ESPN's direct-to-consumer app that they're going to be selling relatively shortly. It's going to be like $30 a month. So you can have that separate from everything else because everybody's going to streaming. But also buried in all of this was a very interesting thing, as we know that Skydance is acquiring Paramount, which is CBS.
Yep.
There's a line in one of these articles that I got to understand more about how this is going to work. And I think many of us that worked for CBS were worried about the future of the NFL and its partnership because it's very, very expensive. And I had an NFL exec once tell me that, you know, the networks really can't afford the NFL, but they can't afford not to have the NFL. So they have to find money and they have to find ways to be able to continue to have the NFL on their networks. And I was specifically talking about Fox, NBC, and CBS. Not so much ABC because that's under the Disney headline. Buried in all of this was that Skydance, which is acquiring and it's going to go through now, Paramount, has also given an equity stake to the NFL within its company.
Wow. So that means that in the future, it would be damn near impossible for the NFL, if they want to make the most amount of money possible, to leave Skydance and or ESPN Disney, right? I mean, they're going to have their games on those two entities as long as they've got a stake in it, because that's their route to the most amount of cash.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. This is what I read. Through a content partnership with Skydance Media, the NFL will also have equity rights holder. There'll be an equity rights holder in CBS after the Skydance closes its deal to acquire the network's parent, Paramount Global, this week. So all that's going to happen this week. I know there's earnings calls coming. I'm sure Disney and Bob Iger will be, you know, touting the fact that, you know, ESPN is now really becoming this behemoth. They have this long-term relationship with the NFL, which obviously is the biggest thing that you could possibly have when you're talking about live sports television.
Yeah, and Pete Bellotti, who works at the Upside Down overnight and drives home when we're on, he said that the wrestlers don't have a CBA. A lot of them have guaranteed contracts and incentives for merchandise and others that are written into the contracts. So,
well, they don't have a CBA, which
but
is
they could be in the SAG-AFTRA union because they're on television.
They may be in the SAG-AFTRA union. I'm not sure.
I googled it. They're not. Only if a special wrestler like John Cena, who is also in movies, might be in SAG-AFTRA, but they're all considered independent contractors with WWE.
And I guess WWE is saying, here's your contract, either take it or leave it. And unless the wrestlers decide to unionize in some way, shape, or form to protect their futures and maybe make it a little bit better for the next group of wrestlers coming. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money, though, if you're a wrestler who thinks that you're underpaid to see, you know, he goes up from $180 million a year that Peacock was paying for those events to $325 million a year that Disney's paying for these live events. I mean, if you're anybody who's a worker there, you're going to be saying, just like the NFL.
A performer, you know? If you're a performer. Yeah. Well, the NFL has obviously the CBA, and in the CBA,
right,
it has the salary cap, which also includes a salary floor for teams that don't want to spend above and beyond the salary cap number.
Yeah. So ESPN's doing a lot of things to try to thrust themselves into a better position in this new age of media.
This is about their earnings call. Yeah. It's about, you know, getting content. Don't get me wrong. But they want to be able to have an earnings call with Wall Street and tell Wall Street, look, man, look at what we're doing. Look at where we're going. Look at how relevant we are going to become in very popular areas, whether it be the NBA, but really the NFL. And I think really the ones that are losing out on this, I would think, would be baseball.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Like baseball,
ESPN decided no more baseball,
right?
And yeah, I mean,
they're going into WWE, and they're all in with the NFL. I mean, they added they actually got, I think, 7 more games through this new contract with the NFL, and you know they do have 2 Super Bowls that will be broadcast both on ABC and ESPN, and they're going to have all the NFL media content. Depending on whether or not they're going to ruin it, that's a whole other story. That's a whole...
I don't think so. I thought Scott Hansen, I thought that NFL was still going to control this stuff, and Scott Hansen was still going to do it.
Well, I mean, it depends on who you listen to. You know, everybody's, you know, that loves Red Zone and loves the way that Scott does it and does it better than anybody. There are all these people out there that think that this is going to be ruined, but let's wait until we see the product and see how they handle it and deliver it before we make those statements.
Yeah, so ESPN also, in this move into this new age of media, is the best way I guess I could put it, you know, hired a straight out of college TikTok influencer named Katie Feeney as a sports and lifestyle content creator. So she's going to be involved in College Game Day, Sunday NFL Countdown, Monday NFL Countdown, Sports Center on Snapchat, and Daily Lead. She's got 14+ million followers.
Good for her, man. That, you know, that's
22 years old.
That's America at its best right there, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I were her parents or friends, I would be extremely proud that she was able to build something like this on her own at such a young age and found a way to get hired by a massive media company because of what she built on her own. That's about as awesome as you could possibly do at that age. So good for her. I hope it works out for her. But it shows you that, you know, the next group of talent in this industry is coming from those places. I mean,
I told my buddy Tony Toronto over at CBS, I said, man, you better get your ass over there to Bud Light and American Eagle and get them all over the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've certainly, well, especially the American Eagle right now, is the talk of the country, right?
Crazy, man. It's exploded.
Yeah, it's certainly the talk of the country. but yeah, so, I mean, this is what you're seeing now. You're seeing, you know, guys and girls who have created their own brands now being hired by, you know, major companies.
But you know who did that before this? Well, and I you could say the same thing about Pat McAfee. Like, he created his own brand, and then he sold it to ESPN, essentially.
Yeah,
and
but he worked for Barstool. You know, he worked for other places.
I was going to say,
yeah,
the company before all of this, right, was Barstool.
Yeah. Right.
They're the ones that were hiring their content creators, and Portnoy saw all these different, you know, from KFC to, you know, all to Frank Fleming to everybody in between.
Yeah, and you can pay them a small amount of money. They're happy to be there. And then you can pocket the rest of it and go buy horses. So it's a great business model.
Hey, so somebody had to lay it out, man. Somebody had to be the leader, so.
No, of course. I mean, and what he's built there is impressive. And obviously, I'm a huge Barstool guy. But, I mean, that's what he's done. He's hired a lot of these people off the street.
But I kind of think, like, that's what ESPN is doing now. They're seeing.
Well, it's for the first time they're doing it here, yes.
Well, McAfee would be the first one.
Yeah, but he had worked for an entity. Like Katie Feeney had done the only place
that she would be done influencer.
Right. The only place she had ever been was her own social media accounts, you know, where McAfee was hired by a certain place first, you know, and had that platform. The only platform she had was her own accounts that she built followers on her own.
What's going to be interesting about that is that you follow her because you want to see her content. Okay, whatever it may be. I'm not even sure what it is.
It's sports stuff. Like, she's a bit on the sidelines of Penn State games. She went to Penn State. You know, it's sort of like clean content, sports things that are fun.
So,
you know?
So the interesting thing will be, like, will she be able to transfer that to television, live television?
Yeah, I mean, I also think that, you know, what ESPN is getting is 14 million people in a demographic that they are trying to reach, where they're going to get exposure to those people on a weekly basis. I mean, that's really what they're paying for.
You and I were talking about, you know, a couple of these teams who are the worst teams in the league, and I think we both kind of settled on both the Saints.
Yeah.
Right?
And Browns.
And the Browns. So I was looking at some of the Super Bowl odds, and of course the Saints are 300-1. Tennessee is 250-1. The Browns are 200-1, along with the Giants and Jets. So the Giants, Jets, and Browns are all 200-1 odds to get to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Their conference, to win their conference, 75-1 for both the Jets and the Giants, and 101 for both the Browns and the Saints.
Mm.
Now, their win over under totals, I don't think it's changed much since we last talked about it. Both the Jets and the Giants are at 5.5.
Yeah, they are. So the worst is the Browns at 4.5. The Saints are actually 5.5 because they play in an easier division, I guess. But yeah, the Jets are 5.5. The Giants are 5.5. Browns 4.5. Titans 5.5. Saints 5.5.
And you have four teams that have 11.5 numbers, and that's the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Eagles, which you would think.
Yeah. And for the Jets to make the playoffs, it's plus 450. And for the Giants, it's plus 800.
Now, there's usually a team or two that goes from last place to first place in their division every year.
Okay.
Any idea which one of those teams? Jets. I think the Jets and Giants are both in that. The Jets weren't last in their division, were they?
No, they weren't the Patriots.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, let's see. I'll tell you right now because I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, it was the Patriots.
They were 4-13, and the Jets were 5-12.
I'm going to say.
So here are your candidates.
Okay.
Your candidates for worst to first within their division: Patriots, Browns, Titans, Raiders, Giants, Bears, Saints, 49ers.
Well, the 49ers is the obvious one.
That would be the obvious one, especially if, you know, I don't know what's going on with Matthew Stafford and his back out there in L.A.
Yeah, that's the obvious one. I would also say, as much as it pains me to say it, if things work out with Ben Johnson there in Chicago, it could be the Bears.
Because you have the Bills in the AFC East, it's unlikely that either one of those three teams are going to topple the Bills unless Josh Allen gets hurt.
Yeah, that would be the only thing.
But it just goes to show you, like, I mean, and I know they have a good roster up there in Buffalo, but I mean, when you have the dynamic quarterback, and the dynamic quarterback leads to a lot of things. It leads to a lot of wins. It leads to new stadiums. It leads to new lease arrangements with cities for new stadiums.
Sure.
And because everybody within that city is now all buying in, and watching Josh up at training camp this year and watching the interaction with the fans and everything, you know, he's just marching in the same footsteps that Jim Kelly once did.
Absolutely, and we know there's one thing that eluded Jim Kelly, and Josh Allen's been trying to bring it there since he got drafted.
Well, he had been to 4 Super Bowls. Josh hasn't gotten one there yet. So,
what about the Titans if Cam Ward ends up being Jaden Daniels? They could go from
or C.J. Stroud.
Well, yeah, or C.J. Stroud. Yeah,
C.J. Stroud had a great rookie year. Maybe took a little bit of a step back last year, but yeah, I mean, if he becomes Jaden Daniels, I guess there's a shot. Because, you got a new coach down in Jacksonville.
Duval.
Quarterback situation in Indianapolis. Right? And then, of course, you have, the Texans. I think the Texans are the best team in that division. But
yeah, so where are you right now with the Jets and Giants over under 5.5? I mean, I could never bet on the over, actually bet on the over. I just couldn't. I mean, I think the Jets have a better chance at it.
Can he get them to 7 wins? That's what it will take. If he's doing the Parcell thing,
well, it would take 6 things to get over 5.5. But yeah,
but I'm just thinking in my head, can he get them to 7 wins? But if he's doing the Parcells situation, which I believe he is, and we've talked about it since he got the job, about cleaning up the problems that they had last year, in other words, getting turnovers, stop giving up turnovers, and the penalty situation, just by minimizing those areas and their defense getting more turnovers as opposed to getting steamrolled, they should win more games. I think their schedule is a little bit lighter than, they have. I mean, they can be on par with a lot of their teams, depending on how Justin Fields plays. And I'm telling you, what's going to drive people crazy with him is it's just going to be the inaccuracies. It's another new offense for him. His 4th offense now. He's got to learn that. He's never played with these guys. He's never had these coaches. There's a lot of learning and a lot of uncomfortableness that he's probably experiencing.
If you had to pick one of the two, would you pick the Jets to go over? If you had to pick one of the two? I know you were enamored with the Giants when we were there.
But I think the Giants are going to go over.
You do?
I do.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to go over.
So you think they'll win 6 games at the very least?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I can't say that.
As a friend of mine said, just can we somehow stay relevant until Thanksgiving? Meaning the Giants.
That's a tough one. I mean, that's 11 games into the season.
I just got to believe their defense is going to be so much more competitive. I mean, they got barely any turnovers last year.
No, I know. And they should be. But the schedule is very difficult. I know we talk about we don't know what the teams are going to look like when they play them. But still, fact of the matter is, it's difficult.
So you got Jaden Daniels, Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert, your first 4 weeks.
Yep.
There you go. You got 4 all-pro quarterbacks.
Yeah, is there a situation you think where Brian Daboll and Joe Shane keep their job if they win 4 or 5 games, but Jackson Dart the last 3 or 4 weeks looks the part? And
yeah, I think that would be the thing. It if they're not winning, but they have this rookie quarterback, why would you want to then start over with another coaching staff you know, bringing in another offense.
Because the win total would be so bad.
But let's say they end up with the first overall draft pick, and Arch Manning is sitting there.
Yeah.
Now everything changes.
Sure.
The whole world changes. So, you know, nothing is ever etched in stone. But I got to believe that their defense is going to be better. I think their offense should be good enough, and I think Russell will be careful enough that instead of losing games in the fourth quarter, they're going to have chances to win the games in the fourth quarter. And if Abdul Carter is as good as people think he is, and he has shown on the practice field, and Cam Scadaboo gets through this injury and he becomes, you know, a force to be reckoned with on offense, Andrew Thomas is healthy, Brian Burns does what Brian Burns does. I don't know why. Like, they have some of the best players at their respective positions, potentially.
Yeah, on defense,
and
for sure.
Malik Nabers on top of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, it's the stars being stars. Malik Nabers, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, those guys. I mean, that's really what it is.
This weekend, you know, is not going to make or break a season. No series until you get to the very end, where if you're a couple of games out, a couple of games in front can make or break a season. But, you know, when you look at two fan bases with the Mets and the Yankees got out of Texas with a win after playing lousy, giving games away. The Mets are riding this losing streak, can't seem to score. The one game I will continue to point to that they need to get away from and kind of turn the page was that Friday night game against the Giants, where it was set up for them to win. The place and Citi Field was in a frenzy. They came up small, didn't do it, wound up losing in extra innings, and they just haven't played well since. They're not scoring runs. The Mets now go into a place in Milwaukee where, you know, obviously they won the playoff series last year, the home run Alonzo off Devin Williams, ironically enough. But the Brewers are playing as good as anybody in baseball right now.
One of the best teams of baseball.
100%. Yeah. And the Mets are playing lousy. They have got to figure out a way. Forget winning the series, sweeping the series. They got to figure out a way to win a game.
They need momentum, right?
Something. They need something. You know, because after, you know, you look back, they swept the Giants in San Francisco. They have a nice winning streak. The Giants come in. They should have won. That come for me on game on Friday night, the winning streak would have continued. Who knows the way the weekend goes if they win that game?
Yeah.
They don't. They haven't won since. You get swept by Cleveland, who's playing much better baseball than they were, let's say, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Well, Clay Holmes, I thought, gave him a good start, even though he didn't get past five innings.
But that's the problem.
But that's the problem with all their starts.
Correct.
We can't get more than five innings out of these guys. I think they're averaging like 4.7 in innings. But nevertheless, man, it also falls on Alonzo and Lindor and Soto. Like, we need them to kind of come alive, and we haven't gotten that. So, yeah, we could pepper it around as far as the blame, but it really comes down to our stars showing up.
I do agree. I do think it's more of a collective fail, but in the short term, right now, it is those three that are not hitting. Alonzo had the 1-4-for-4 game that we talked about. Yep. That was the Cleveland game, a game they could have won. They don't, and he had an opportunity to win it, didn't. But at least he was 4-for-4 up to that point, where they've really done nothing offensively. You can put a lot of this on Soto's shoulders for still not really finding a rhythm to win games. A Lindor has been average at best now.
Can I ask you a side question? I apologize for cutting you off. Do you think, and this may be a little off the path, do you think the Mets need to hire J.D. Martinez to be a pitcher, be a hitting coach?
No.
Kind of help these guys out.
No. Juan Soto didn't forget how to hit. Francisco Lindor didn't forget how to hit. Do I think Lindor has been bothered or hampered by the toe injury he suffered? Yeah, I do.
Right.
I also commend him for fighting through it and playing through it, but he also hasn't been the same player. And that's both on the field and in the batter's box. Like, his defense this year has been, for his standard, not as good as it's been. He's still been as good as anybody defensively in baseball, or at least right up there. But he hasn't been Francisco Lindor-like for the entirety of the year in the field. Certainly isn't hitting now. Alonso, so hot to start the season, so up and down since. Soto's been, aside from the nice month of June, where, oh, by the way, they rarely won games.
Yeah.
As good as he was, they didn't win much. It's just been those three have been a problem. Brandon Nimmo at times, you know, hot and cold. The problem for this team, at least for me, is threefold. One, those four guys seem to slump and for the most part hit at the same times. When they all slump, they all slump, mm-hmm. aside from the June with Soto. And when they're all good, which is great. They have a pitching, starting rotation of guys that cannot get deep into games. You're taxing a bullpen. Every night, the bullpen's got to get out literally 12 guys. You got to get 12 outs every single night because, heaven forbid, they get a starter that goes six or seven innings. I think Peterson had the complete game. He went eight another time. Like, that's it. And it's hard. And then when you look at, you know, the deals they made at the deadline by shoring up the bullpen, that's great, but you got to get to the bullpen with a lead. So there's a lot of different things plaguing this team. Oh, and they don't hit with runners in scoring position as
so
a
what's
team.
The answer, so what's the answer for Frankie?
The answer for this team, for Lindor?
No, I mean, I'm talking about Montes. Like, are you... like
please,
how
do, I, no, he, please.
Don't even bring him.
He's a fifth starter.
Yeah.
Now, would I like to see them bring up one of these kids? Yes, I would. I would like to see them...
Sprout?
Yeah, the Brandon Sprout kid.
Even the kid
supposed
Nolan.
To be,
yeah.
You've got two that are supposedly ready to go. What they're waiting for, I don't know. Well, I know they gave Montas 2 years guaranteed money.
Yes.
I understand that. But I also see a season that's kind of spiraling the wrong way, and you want it to change, like now.
But and this is why I love the Sal clip so much, when he's telling everybody to relax, sure. Because... listen, they're in second place, right? And they have enough tools right now.
But I will tell you right now,
turn this thing around.
The Phillies are a better team right now. They might be only 2.5 back. The Phillies are a better team right now. They've got a guy on Kyle Schwarber who is mashing the baseball. If Zach Wheeler is healthy, I'm not sure he's 100% healthy right now. But if he's healthy, he's a guy that wants to go out there and throw 8 or 9 innings every time he takes the ball. I just think the Phillies are better right now. Doesn't mean the Mets won't become. The end of August or in September, right now the Phillies are better. Right now the Brewers are better. Right now the Cubs are better. What I thought 2 months ago is thinking the Mets were the best team in the National League. I don't think that anymore. I just don't.
Solely because of the slump.
Correct. Well, it's long. You know, a slump.
Well, I think for me it's the pitching. You can't get more than 5 out of these guys. That's brutal.
How many guys they've had series where they will go 3 for 30 with runners in scoring position?
Yeah.
You're not winning games that way. So it's problematic. Am I panicking? No. Do I think the season's over? No. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Sure. I just feel
sad. But the problem
myself.
Is when
I answer,
you
answer my own question.
Yeah, but the problem is when you look at this roster, you think they should be in a lot better
and
position,
not.
And they're not.
And they're not.
I agree.
Brett Beatty has been up and down at best. Mark Vientos mostly down. Has hit a little bit of late, but not enough to carry.
I honestly think, in reference to Lindor, I don't think he has been the same since the toe.
He hasn't been, and I think it's getting better.
See, I think the opposite. I think it's in his head now.
Perhaps, but I think he's had a lot. Now I'll sound like Brandon. I think his hard hit rate has been better. Like, he's squared up some balls lately where he's starting to look more like himself. So I think he's getting healthier, and ultimately, if he is, they'll be okay. So there's no panic. That said, you got to go win some games, though.
I think when you look at this team and what they had to do last year, you talk about the game against Milwaukee, how they had to kind of crawl in and get in. I think the perception is, do they have that still in their wheelhouse to do it again this year?
I hope so.
That's part of the anxiety. Can we do what we did last year? Because we were around this. We looked like this around. If you're a Mets fan, I'm talking about we.
Oh, sure.
If you're a Mets fan.
Terrible through June.
Correct.
Yep.
So you've been here before, but now you're looking like, can we do that again? And I think some Mets fans are like, I don't know.
Well, and here's the other question. At what point does Juan Soto look like what we saw last year with the Yankees? What does he look like? I know the year with the Padres wasn't great, but prior to that, very good. Like, is this just the off year? Is this the year? No, Carlos Beltran, when he got here, was not great at first. Lindor was not great
at first.
Well,
I also think with Soto, the issue is he didn't have to be, he had to be the guy, but he wasn't forced to be the guy like Aaron Judge was supposed to be the guy. You know what I mean? Now this is solely on him.
But it's not, though.
To be that guy in clutch situations, and he hasn't delivered.
He hasn't, but he was last year, and I can make every case that Lindor and Alonso are just as important to the Mets as Judge was to the Yankees. Like, it's not like Soto went to a bad team and needed to rise them up.
Sure.
He needed to come and be the missing piece and fit in to a group that, last time I checked, was in the NLCS last year.
Yeah, that's fair, but I also think he's just a different dog with all the baggage he left from New York, meaning the Yankees, excuse me.
Perhaps.
Now he crossed the street, and everybody's like, oh, you got the check, deliver, but we don't need you just to deliver. We need you to deliver now in crutch situations, and he hasn't been that guy.
I don't think.
And I'm saying to myself, I think part of that is because of the expectations that he's dealing with being a Met.
You might be right. But I would say a lot of guys, there are some guys that when they're on a contract year, they press and they don't do so great. Him in a contract year last year was phenomenal.
Oh, he was arguably up for MVP.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I don't think asking him to be I'm not saying maybe that level, but a version of that guy is asking too much.
We have a saying in football, it's hard to feed a full tick, meaning he's acquired so much, especially with the contract. Where's his motivation now? Because his motivation last year was the money.
Well,
his motivation last year was to be that guy in New York looking for the bag.
He better figure it out because he's got the bag for the next 15 years. Think about that.
I'm just saying, as a ball player who've been around other ball players who received the contract, it's hard to turn on that fire.
I get it. See, I don't question that. I mean, I definitely questioned him going after the triple the other day, the Arias triple. Where he loafed after the ball, but more than that, just lobbed the ball in, allowing him to go from second to third, making a double into a triple. I think for the most part, he is stealing bases. A lot of people will say
he's active.
He's been active. He has done good things, but he hasn't been impactful. And think about the number, 20 of 26 home runs, solo home runs. That's why Evan was calling him Juan Solo yesterday, which I thought was very funny. I didn't know he came up with that. But that's what he's been.
Yeah.
And that's problematic. You want him hitting two run homers, three run homers, and then people will say, well, last year he had Aaron Judge behind him. All right, well, this year he's got Pete Alonso behind him.
Well, they also expect him to carry this team. Like, he was supposed to be a slump buster.
Slump buster. He shouldn't have to carry this team. They should be good enough that he should be fitting in beautifully and making it go. But I don't think... Like I said, he didn't come here to be the savior. They were a couple of wins away from going to the World Series last year.
Yeah, but I think every team goes through their slumps, and your superstar carries you out of those slumps. That's in my eyes, that's my expectation for him on this ball club. And it's not just about him not delivering. Like, even him in the press conference, he came out and said, he goes, I don't know what the problem is. Like, we're doing, and I've been in those situations.
It ain't happening.
Where you're doing everything you should do from a preparation standpoint to deliver, and you're just not getting it done. I think that's where he's like, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else we need to do.
Okay, so that comment right there when Sal says relax, that concerns me.
Okay.
Because if they're saying
I don't know what
yeah. That's what I'm saying. To react to Sal, who says everybody chill out, it's going to be fine, fair enough. But if I hear Juan Soto saying we don't know what the problem is, that's concerning. It's got to be concerning to them, let alone us.
Yeah, but he's not lying. He's being transparent.
Probably so.
And I prefer an athlete saying, hey, we're doing our due diligence. We're doing what we need to do to show up. We're just not getting enough out of what we have right now, and it's costing us games. And we're both sitting here saying, well, let's start with pitching, right? We can't get past five. It's killing us, taxing our bullpen. All three of our stars right now going through slumps, right? But we're preparing as we're going to get the job done. We're just not, you know, we're not seeing the crossing line, whatever I'm trying to say.
The finish line.
Finish line. Thank you. So it's, I don't know. I think Soto is trying his best, and we're not seeing his best. And I don't think he has an answer for it. And I think sometimes that happens from an athlete standpoint.
Yeah, well, it's happening up and down the order and way too much this year.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.